Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started. Now, when business is doing well and is on the rise, we hardly think about unexpected future business loss or even issue with the health. But in fact, this is the best time to future-proof these things. Now, Trevor Courant shares his roller coaster ride with regard to business and even personal health. Now, being a cancer survivor, he is more aware to prepare for future business stability and personal well-being. This is episode number 27 of the podcast, Future Proofing for Online Business Loss and Health Downtime with Trevor Courant. Before we begin, I want to share an amazing news with regard to this podcast. Well, we've crossed 6,000 downloads. Yes, 6,000 downloads. And seriously, all the credit goes to all the listeners who have been tuning into this podcast regularly and even referring new people to this podcast. Thank you from bottom of my heart. And you can contribute further by leaving a 5-star review over at iTunes. Just head over to smartwebcreators.com/iTunes. That's smartwebcreators.com/iTunes. Thank you so much. And now let's begin the show. Hey, Trevor, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So today we are going to talk about business loss, but more importantly, health, which we generally do not talk in our geeky circles. But right. before we begin, why don't you give a quick introduction about your online life for last 5, 10, 20?
Yeah, sure. So I am a graphic designer by profession. I've been in the design industry for, I hate to say it, but over 28 years now. I started my own business, Current Media Group, back in 2009. Mm-hmm. And in 2010, I went full-time with my agency. I kind of started out freelancing while I was doing the day job. And then I actually wound up getting laid off after 17 years with the same company. And so I, you know, with my level of experience at that point of 20 years of experience, it's not easy to get another job. You know, it's not easy to just walk into another agency and say, hey, I'm here. You know, it's most of the agencies in my area are smaller agencies, and the owners of the agencies are like my age with my experience. So they don't want to hire an equal. They want to hire somebody under them. So I started my own business. I started out initially continuing with graphic design work, a lot of print production, consumer packaging, things like that. And started slowly making the transition into WordPress and building websites. And over the years, you know, there's been a lot more need for the web work as opposed to the print work for obvious reasons. So that's really where we concentrate now. I mean, we're pretty much 100% web work now.
Cool. Now, I know a little bit of your backstory about your roller coaster ride with regard to your online business and related to you being a cancer survivor that has made you prepare so very well for upcoming or future, you know, downtime or business loss, or even, you know, preparing yourself better health-wise. Now, can you share your backstory in this context?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, as I said, started my business in 2010. As with any new business, it's usually a slow go. You know, it takes a while to build your client base, and it takes a while to get up to speed and actually start generating enough income to be able to survive with, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but things were going all right. I was starting to really build a business, and in November of 2013, I had a sinus infection, and, you know, I've been sneezing a lot, and in the process of sneezing, I was biting my tongue. And I had gone to the doctor to get an antibiotic. And then while I was there, I said, hey, by the way, doc, do you have anything stronger to put on my tongue? You know, I keep biting it, the Ambisol, the Aura Gel, you know, the numbing things, the topicals aren't working. He looked at it and he said, you need to go see an oral surgeon. And I just looked at him like, why? You know, it's just a little, I've been biting it, no big deal. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, it doesn't look right. Went to see an oral surgeon. He didn't like the looks of it. He did a biopsy, and a week later I found out it was cancer. And traditionally, people who get cancer of the mouth are usually smokers or somebody who chews tobacco, you know, hard alcohol drinkers, you know, things like that. I didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like shocked. But come to find out, this actually is becoming a lot more prevalent.
Guess what? I was telling you about my uncle. He had exactly same thing, and he was not a smoker.
Right. No, it's what studies have been showing, that men in their mid-40s are starting to be more susceptible to getting this oral cancer for no reason. You know, even HPV is another cause of oral cancers, but I tested multiple times negative for that. So it's just one of those freak things. It's just happened. So, you know, I went through surgery in December. They removed it. And then I started radiation for 6 weeks in January. As of tomorrow, March 1st, is actually my 5-year mark from my last cancer treatment. Oh. So, yeah, good timing, Devinder. So, you know, and I'm happy to report 5 years later, I've clean bill of health. Even from the GP, I did the blood work and the whole regular, you know, checkup and all that stuff, and everything is good. So life is good. Roller coaster, as you said, but, you know, things happen and you have to roll with it.
Yeah. And as of now, like, you started your business a few years back. Now, do you work alone or do you have partners, contractors? What is your setup like?
Yeah, for the most part, I'm a business of one.
Okay.
You know, I kind of am the business. I try to take on the amount of work that I can fulfill myself. I do want to grow the business and have been growing the business greatly. And because of that, I have been starting to, you know, outsource or to hire externally. I have a couple people that I've worked with, who are really good, who are reliable. So, you know, I farm some work out to them, and that's kind of what's helped to grow the business.
Okay. Before we move forward, let's take a water break.
Yeah, good idea.
Okay, now let's talk about business in, you know, prime state. Like, when the business is in prime form and you're making a lot of profits, all is going well, and we put very little effort, you know, planning for the downturn or the loss. Isn't this the best time to plan for future eventualities when all is going well?
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's absolutely right. I mean, when I got sick, I felt great. Other than that sinus infection, I felt great. I mean, you know, I was in my mid-40s. I was strong. I was doing stuff. I was like 207 pounds. And, you know, at 6'1", I mean, that's not that bad. I had a few extra pounds on me, but not bad. I never really thought much about getting sick or what would happen if I did. But luckily, when I was in my day job, my boss at the time, he was a great mentor. And he had a financial advisor and, you know, an insurance guy. And he connected me with him when I was in my mid-20s. And he said, listen, Trev, he said, I know you're young. I know you think that nothing's ever going to happen. He said, but sometimes it does. And it's worth talking to this guy. So I did. I got disability insurance. I did some other preparing as far as investments and stuff goes, which really helped, you know. But the time of, you know, going through radiation was really tough. And it was really hard to work. Early on, for the first 3 weeks, I kind of got by doing stuff. And then once I hit week 3, it was like I literally ran into a wall.
How many rounds did you go through?
6 weeks, 5 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was quite a lot. It took its toll for sure, just during the radiation treatment. And for really 2 weeks after treatment, you know, I finally started feeling a little bit better, because radiation is a cumulative effect. And it just keeps pounding and pounding and pounding on you well after it stops. And then it still lingers with you for years to come. You know, you have these side effects for it. So during that time, it was really difficult from a financial standpoint. I couldn't work. You know, there was probably 3 months that I could not work at all. And then I was able to slowly get back into it. But the problem is 3 months went by and I had a loss of business at that point. But, you know, in the preparation that I did, when I was finally able to start working again, I was able to reach out to those connections and start to get the ball rolling. But it was a slow roll. I mean, it really took me probably another 6 months, the rest of 2014, before I was kind of back up to speed again. And, you know, but luckily I had did the, you know, the preparation that I did, you know, just because of life, not because I ever anticipated getting sick, but just life preparation. So, you know, that enabled me to weather the storm. That and the fact that my wife is a nurse and had a really good job with really good benefits. That was, you know, major pluses.
So for a business in prime, you know, what concrete steps a business can take during its prime time to prepare for eventualities? Could it be like trimming costs and making more profits and bulking up the savings, diversifying income streams, or something that you do?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You want to function as lean as you can, you know, just to keep those monthly expenses down. I mean, obviously there's overhead, whether it be employees or whether it just be the money that you need to take in. A lot of the external services we buy, $10 here, $5 there, you pay for monthly hosting or a server, maybe it's $60, $100 there. You know, those expenses are more manageable. Really, I mean, you need to make sure you've got enough money to pay your bills, you know, to pay your mortgage, to pay doctor's bills, you know. So yeah, building a savings, making sure you have, you know, like our moms and dads have always said, you know, have 6 months of savings, you know, in the bank account and ready to go. And really that is ideal. But being in your own business, especially when times are tough, it's hard to save, right? It's hard to put that money away. So that's really important to at least try and put a little bit away for sure. I think the most important thing is really building your systems, building your processes, trying to build that recurring revenue stream. You know, as web developers, we always talk about care plans and, you know, get people into the hosting and get people into care. Realistically, somebody else, you know, and somebody that you outsource to could maintain your servers. They could maintain your client needs if you can't. But doing design work or drumming up new business, that's not as easy. You know, and that's really something that you as the owner of the company kind of need to do.
So this was like if a person is in prime. Now, when you were down with your health, what things went into your head? Like, what will I do or what will my business, you know, go in which direction when I get well? Because there's always a hope even when you're, you know, going through a treatment.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously being positive is so important. You know, because if you get down on your illness and there were days, and I'm not going to lie to you, there were days that I was like, you know, didn't want to get out of bed in the morning, you know, things like that. But trying to be positive, I think what really got me through it was my kids. You know, when I was diagnosed, they were 8 and 6. So they were very young. And just My daughter was playing basketball at the time. And I remember there was a couple games that I couldn't go to and that my wife actually recorded it on her iPad so I could watch it later. That was my motivation. That was what got me out of bed in the morning. That's what kept me going. And that's what kind of kept me thinking positively about my business. You know, because I, from the time my daughter was in kindergarten, I've been at home with them, you know, working from home. So I've been able to get them on the bus every morning, get them off the bus every afternoon, take them to all their practices. That was my motivation. That's what kept me going. So when I was finally able to get through the day, you know, I started reaching out to my network. I started contacting people that I'd worked with in the past and saying, you know, listen, I'm back at it again. You know, you got anything for me? And it slowly started to build again.
Yeah.
And
that was like my next question, like all those connections that you made during your business prime time, yeah. You were able to reconnect with them. And what were their response like? Like, have I hired a new person to do it? I don't need you. Like, what were the general response like?
Yeah. So a lot of the work that we do is corporate work. Okay. So, you know, we're dealing with marketing managers. We're dealing with, you know, internals who they just need somebody to get the job done and get it done well. You know, they're not interested in sourcing other developers. They're not interested in going outside. So during that time period, you know, like I said, I was able to, you know, when I was down, I had help and they were kind of able to maintain things, let's say, to keep that relationship going, to keep that connection going with the hosting and the care. So we were able to keep that connection going. I mean, that's the number one thing that I would say to anybody is when you build a website for someone, you really want to do the hosting. Whether you do a care package, whether they want to pay for that or not, do the hosting or broker the hosting. Do something to keep that connection with your client because that will stick with you over time. So reaching back out to them, you know, it's like, I'm available now. Do you have any additional work? Can I help you with your site? Do you need any updates? Oh yeah, actually, you know, we do need some updates. Because realistically, what seems like an eternity in our, you know, in my mind as being sick, really was only a few months to my clients. And not a lot happens sometimes in only a few months. I mean, especially when you're dealing with corporations, by the time they get things approved, it can be 6 months, it can be a year.
And they don't even have new stuff on their site. It's just the old, same old thing.
That's right. They're doing blog posts, which is great. You know, they were educated enough to be able to go in and put up blog posts and stuff, but, you know, no design changes, no functionality additions or anything like that. So I was able to kind of jump back into it. But again, if I didn't have that network, if I didn't have those types of connections with my clients, it would have been much harder. It would have almost been like starting over.
Now, a good health of an individual can propel business to new heights, but when you're not well, even super sound plans can fail because, you know, health is unpredictable. Just like in any case, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're in 20s, 30s or 40s, you can fall sick. With these days, it's kind of unpredictable because the way we live, because health is unpredictable, but healthy lifestyle is something we can, you know, cultivate within our daily things.
Sure.
How have you worked on your healthy lifestyle, you know, better or being better at healthy lifestyle after you've recovered from your illness?
Yeah, sure. That was, so I had mentioned earlier that I, you know, I'm 6'1" tall. Don't know what that translates into centimeters for the rest of the world, but, and 207 pounds. All right. So I was not a small guy. I was wearing extra large clothes, you know, with all of this treatment, the radiation actually caused my neck to tighten up, which in turn caused my esophagus to shrink. And it shrunk to the point that I was actually choking on an Advil, just a pain pill. I went in for a procedure and the doctor said that my esophagus was now the size of a baby. So if you can imagine, not able to eat, I'm on a liquid diet. You know, so I started losing all that fat weight that I had. So when I got back down to 185, I'm like, damn, I'm looking pretty good, you know, all things considered, you know, but then I kept losing it and losing it and losing it. And I got down to 153 pounds. So if you can imagine being my height at that weight, I did not look healthy. So for me, you know, it was really about, you know, once I was able to start eating relatively normal again, it was about building back up the muscle because I had lost a lot of muscle and that was not easy. It was definitely not easy. It was very hard because when you go through this, your body is trying to fight back against this radiation. So your metabolism is very high. You're burning through, you know, your body fats, you're eating into muscle. So it's very, very hard. So when everything finally started calming down a little bit, I was going through physical therapy and building my core back up again, getting stronger. And then again, it got to the point where I had more of that natural strength back again. I could do things. I could be outside working in the yard, mowing the lawn, you know, doing the trimming and stuff like that, and naturally just getting stronger. And as that progressed, I said, all right, I lost the weight. I don't want to get back to having the extra weight on. So, you know, in that process, my stomach also shrank. So I don't eat as much. I control my intake now. I do try to eat healthier. Like, I really don't eat much red meat anymore because I can't. So I eat mostly chicken, a lot of pasta, a lot of starches, which is not necessarily great, but it's kind of like what I can eat. And then I've been trying to exercise, you know, not necessarily with weights or whatever, but just movement, just keeping active, just trying to get outside.
Even walking is...
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Just working around the house and doing things like that has made a huge difference. So as of today, I'm back up to 185, which is where I want to be. You know, that is my ideal weight. I look good. I'm the same weight as when I was training in martial arts in my mid-20s now. So this is where I want to be. Now I want to take it to the next level. I want to get more fit. You know, I'm beyond the point now of just being able to do daily functions. Now I want to be able to get more fit. I'm 50 years old in a couple months, so it doesn't get any easier. You know, guys, you younger guys, you know, it does not get any easier. It only gets harder. So now is the time to do it, to really try and be fit.
So what materialistic steps can one take for good health and good business? Like, does that include having a better health insurance, better business environment? What has worked for you, considering your experience with both the business loss as well as the health loss?
Yeah, one thing, definitely you need the health insurance. Regardless of what you have to do, you need to make sure you have the health insurance. Here in the States, it's kind of mandatory now that you have something. And if your spouse does not have medical benefits, then you need to get your own policy. And you can either get through the Healthcare Act here in the States, which you can kind of, based on your income and a whole lot of other factors, you can get a reduction in cost for healthcare, or you have to get a privatized policy. That's what we wound up doing. I wound up getting a really good privatized policy. I pay for it out of pocket every month. You know, my wife has benefits through her employer. But actually, the plan that we got is better. So that's number one. You need good primary health care. Dental and vision, you can kind of maybe sacrifice on that. But you got to have the good major medical, especially if you have children. I mean, that's so important. From there, you need to lead more of that healthier lifestyle every day. You know, just watch what you eat. You know, try and move. I'm not going to say go to the gym, because that's a short-lived thing. A lot of people just can't do it. They're busy, they can't do it. You know, and I get it. I've been there as well. But just try and move. One thing that I did is I purchased a stand-up desk. I'm standing right now as we're doing the podcast. And this is great. You know, I've got a great floor cushion. So, you know, the floor mat has raised edges on it. And it kind of almost forces you to fidget a little bit. You know, so... that keeps me active. That keeps me moving. And what that does is it helps to strengthen your core. It helps to keep your leg muscles pumping for circulation. And it helps take the pressure off your low back from sitting that all of us get. And it also keeps the posture in your neck better, so you're not looking down or leaning in to the computer, because that's one of the worst things that you could do. So just those couple of changes that I've made for the ergonomics here in my office have made a huge difference. Huge difference.
Okay, let's have a water break again.
All right.
Now, you were referring about, you know, weight going up and down. Now, we often measure health in terms of body weight, like I'm overweight, I'm underweight, and so on. But guess what? Mind health is actually more important than the weight health. Like, someone could be a little overweight, but he still be good. Be very healthy, considering his healthy state of mind. Now, isn't this more relevant for online workers like us, where we don't often get to talk to real people more?
You know it. I saw a post about this elsewhere just recently, but that's absolutely true. One of my friends, we kind of met online, actually. We met through Twitter back in 2010. He was in the photography space, so was I. And he and I wound up doing a photography podcast together. Mm-hmm. And when we got to know each other, you know, we're the same age. We have kids the same age. He's in Florida. I'm up here in New Jersey. So we're 2,000 miles away from each other. But we would talk over Skype every day. Like, we would just turn Skype on. And it would be like we're sitting in the office together. So we're brainstorming about projects, you know, things that we could do. We're having just great conversations. So that is so important. Otherwise, you will go stir crazy. You know, you need to do something. You know, our online groups on Facebook and stuff, that's a great thing too. I mean, it gives you the opportunity to at least text chat with people, take that kind of mental break from the work, and say, hey, want to jump on a Zoom call real quick and, you know, just chat for 15 minutes, you know. That really makes a huge difference as well. You know, our spouses, they don't really care to hear about web stuff.
Yeah,
you know, they kind of get that glazed over look after a while.
That is what I was going to, you know, mention the next, like, we geeks can understand the geek language. Now, if I talk to my wife and refer CSS or PHP or WordPress, they would say, what is this? You know, they would say, what are you talking about? And then they will just ignore it because it's not what they understand or because it's not their interest area. But if I talk to you or someone, you know, in our Facebook groups or Facebook other community, and I say CSS, PHP, they understand what it is and what I'm talking about, because that's why. And we have, like, a lot of people say Facebook is a distraction. It is a distraction if you spend your time on your Facebook feed and not in, because I spend 90% of my time in Facebook groups, and I consider Facebook as a healthy distraction, because
absolutely,
you know, when you are, say, you are designing something, you are building or coding a website, and you're working for 1 hour and your eyes stuck on the screen and some message pops up in the other browser window or on your phone, and you take it is actually an unintentional break, which should happen. I don't know. There's two schools of thought. There are other people who say, no, I'm going to kill my Facebook time. I just want to work for these many hours and then go out or do something. I don't know.
I mean, I think that Facebook is a positive distraction because it gets you out of whatever it is you were doing, but it still keeps you in the business mindset. Yeah. So maybe you're not mentally taking a break from business, but you're taking a break from whatever tedium you might be experiencing, like trying to, you know, build a page or copying and pasting hundreds of pages of content or something like that. You know, you need that mental break. So one thing that I did is I bought a Fitbit, and this thing buzzes at me every hour saying that you need to get your steps in, you know, so it's set for 250 steps. So I try to heed that and get up and go take a walk down the hallway to the bathroom or go outside with the dog or something just to get away from
it. You know, I did a very simple change in this home office setup. Like, earlier I had a water bottle here and I ditched the water bottle. I have a small glass here now. So thing is, when the glass go empty, I have to get up and walk to the kitchen, fill the glass and then come back. Because when water bottle will not finish like half of the day. So I'm just stuck on my seat and won't move. So thirst is something that, you know, makes me go stand up and, you know, go and walk.
Right, right. Well, I mean, even to that, drink water, drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
Not an over amount of water. There is such a thing as too much. But by drinking a lot of water, it keeps your body hydrated. You have to get up and leave for momentarily every once in a while.
Not just to fetch the water, but the other ground.
Yeah, to expel the water. Yeah. And that is all part of the whole healthy thing as well. You know, drink lots of water, you know, get up and move and get away from the desk.
Now let's talk about the basic routine on a micro level. Now, I have a very weird routine, but it works for me. For the last like 10 years, I sleep for like five and a half hours at night and 2 to 3 hours during the day. In the end, I still end up with 7 to 8 hours of sleep, which works for me. And
sure.
But the only condition for me is that I have to go to bed at the same time. I cannot delay it. Like, and a lot of people, you know, assume this, like sleeping less does not mean you're not doing more work. Like if you have, I want to do work, so I will cut down on my sleep. And this is a very common practice. You know, they don't do it intentionally, but it happens unintentionally. Like there's a pile of work. You have to do it. And what else are you going to cut out? That's the sleeping time, right? But right. You know what? Sleeping less does not equal more work. It's basically a faster way to destroy your health because you can have back pains. Your mind can go for spin. How has been your routine with sleep so far?
Well, I tell you, I make every effort in the world to stop working at dinner time. You know, when the dinner bell rings, I try to wrap it up and leave it for the next day. Mm-hmm. So I get my kids on the bus. My son gets on the bus at 10 after 8 in the morning. I'll come in the office. I'll have some breakfast. I'll usually watch a YouTube video, whether it be business or entertainment, for like a half an hour. I just kind of chill and wake up with my coffee. And I usually try to start working by 9. And I'll work throughout the day. I'll take my lunch break. Unfortunately, some days I get so wrapped up in what I'm doing that the lunch break gets kind of pushed later in the afternoon as opposed to like that noon or 1 o'clock time frame.
Not cool.
No, not good at all. No, definitely not. So I really try to control that. And then, you know, my kids get home in the afternoon. So I'll greet them. We'll spend a little bit of time together, you know, hear about their day. And then I'll go back and work for another couple hours. And then I try to knock off by, you know, 5:36. And then hopefully that will be it. And that is one thing that I've made the conscious decision to do for 2019 is to control the amount of work that I bring in house. You know, not that I want to decline projects, but I want to be more choosy about my projects. You know, we're fortunate to be at a position now where we're working with big clients who have bigger budgets, have longer term projects, and financially we do much better doing fewer bigger projects than we do a whole bunch of smaller projects. Because really, like if you think about it, if you think about the course of a project, you know, your initial communications with the client, you know, then your proposal, then you're getting the signing of the proposal, then getting materials in, then starting the build and blah, 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 blah. You know, and then that is the same amount of work for every client, whether it's a $3,000 website or a $20,000 website. Usually the difference between a $3,000 and a $20,000 is the amount of content, the amount of hours, labor that you have to put into building, and functionality. And you can, the functionality is good work to do. You know, that's high paying work.
Yeah.
And if you price the project well, you can outsource the copy and pasting of content because that's relatively easy work. You don't need a developer to do that. Mm-hmm. And you can pay them less money, but you can still make a profit off that end of the work. And that's where we've really seen the big increase in our profits and allowed us to be more selective about what we do.
Okay. Now, coming back to that hourly thing, like how much I sleep and all that, the thing is, my Saturdays, Sundays are cheat days. I work here and there on Saturdays and Sundays, but not much, not the regular thing. But on Monday to Friday, I sleep at the same time. I make sure I have my meals at the same time. That's the only thing I've been doing for the last 10 years. And guess what? My health has seen improvement, even though I wasn't struggling with something bad, but I, you know, feel better because now it's not like that. I'll go to the bed and I won't get a sleep. Now it's like, if I go to the bed at the same time, I'll just sleep in a 5-10 minutes, like a robot. Like if I try to sleep like 2 hours early, I won't get the sleep. So
right.
It's worked for me. And then Saturday, Sundays, you can have a, you know, you can cheat because Saturday, Sundays, my kid has a school holiday so that you have to go out, you know, when you go out, you can't have your schedule there, right?
And not right.
So besides that, I think the other important thing is I don't work. I work in a very small blocks of hours. Like I don't work for more than 3 hours in a stretch. And I mix those hours with my meals. Like I'll work for 10 to 1 in morning. And then after 1, I'll go and get my kiddo back from the school. And then it's the lunchtime. And then we have the play time for an hour or so. So like 2-3 hours go by, and then you again get back to the work for an hour or so, then go back for your nap, you know.
Yep.
Breaking up your regular things, like you mentioned that you don't do your meals at the same time. Probably you should, because you can put it somewhere in your, you know, work block hours. Yep. And I guess you work from home, right?
I do. Yes. Yeah. Same. I have the epic office. I love this office. I joke with my wife. I said, the only thing I need in here is a futon and a refrigerator, and I'll never leave. She's like, that can be arranged.
And you know what? People who would not be listening this and watching this video, they would be wondering what's in your background. Like, yeah. I mentioned it's a painting, but guess what? It's not a painting. Would you want to tell what it is?
My office is filled with toys.
Superhero
fan for sure. Actually wearing a Batman shirt. I gotta raise up. I've got all of these action figures. I've got these guys that are like 31 inches tall up on the top shelf back there. I have a couple. I have a Darth Vader who's like 4 feet tall. I have a Batman that's 4 feet tall.
So you love everything from Star Wars to, you know, Batman, Superman.
Yep, absolutely. I actually have all of my Star Wars toys from the 70s that were mine when I was a kid, actually sitting on the shelf over here.
So cool.
Yeah, I've got all the vehicles and all the little 3.5-inch figures and stuff. I mean, for me, it's like Candyland. You know, it's just, this is where I love to be.
Awesome. Now, I've seen that you've started a Facebook group called Web Dev Fitness, which yes. I am also the part of it.
Yep.
What was the inspiration for starting this Facebook group?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously with my story, having lost all this weight and now, you know, approaching 50 years old, you know, I'm finding myself wanting to be more fit. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got back and neck pain all the time. That's chronic. You know, I had neck pain even before the illness. And it was from years and years and years of sitting in a chair, you know, working at a desk, leaning into a computer. You know, those of us that wear glasses and even those who don't find yourselves leaning into the screen to try and read the small type as opposed to making the screen resolution, you know, higher or something, you know.
My screen resolution is very low. It's not the default highest, because the more high it is, the smaller text it is. And I don't like small text at all.
No. No, exactly the same thing. So, you know, I dealing with this chronic pain every day, I mean, there's really not much medically that can be done.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the damage is done. Yeah,
you can take the painkillers, but that's going to damage things more from internal.
No. Yeah, definitely. I do not want to do that. That's what I don't want to do. I don't want to be on medication for pain. I will take the occasional Advil if I have a really bad flare up, but I really try not to. So for me, it's been about trying to strengthen the core, mm-hmm. To move, to prevent from being in that stationary position all the time. Because that's when you get the compression in the vertebrae. You know that, and when you get that compression, that starts pinching on your nerves, and that's what causes the muscle flare-ups and all the other pains. And once, as you get older, you know, the doctor explained it to me. He said the discs in your vertebrae are like a jelly donut. And when you're young, the jelly donut is nice and squishy.
Yeah.
But when you get older, the jelly gets a little more firm. And when you squish it, it stays squished. Yeah. It doesn't expand back out. And that's kind of where I am and where pretty much all of us are. I mean, if you talk to anybody in the group, anybody that sits at the computer, they will say the same thing. They all have the same pain. So for me, you know, it was about having a venue, having an outlet to connect with other people. At the beginning of the year, you know, just after, you know, everybody's posting their New Year's resolutions and I want to lose weight, I want to get more fit. And I'm thinking, you know, and they're saying about back pain and neck pain and this and that. And I'm thinking, man, we're all like in the same boat here. So that was kind of my motivation. That's why I started it. And it's a great little community. I mean, it is small. There's, you know, I think right now today there's like 53 people in it, but it's 53 people who are all in the same boat. You know, we're all like-minded. We have the same background, but we're all in the same fitness or health boat. We're looking to make those improvements. And by kind of supporting each other and holding each other accountable, it's that motivation sometimes that we need to do better, to keep moving and to feel better and stuff.
And how you plan to use this space in future to promote more fitness among geeky people?
You know, I honestly, I started this with no ulterior motive at all, other than just a place to connect and talk about a specific type of subject, as opposed to our other groups. Like, we don't go in our other groups. Like, I want to come into your group and then start all of a sudden talking about health and fitness and diet. It's not what your group is about. So finding that place was number one. But, you know, I found that a lot of people, after they go through a life-changing event, such as cancer or a heart attack or whatever, they become pundits for a cause. You know, you've got to eat right and stay fit so you don't have the heart attack. You've got to not smoke or chew tobacco or whatever so you don't get oral cancer or other cancers. Well, you know what? I didn't do any of that and I still got cancer. So for me, I can't be a pundit to say, don't do this, don't do that, go out and do the fundraisers and rah, rah. I can't bring myself to do that because it's not what I feel. But what I do feel is what I've lived through. And, you know, knowing where my business was, knowing the loss that I went through, knowing the recovery, and then being in our groups and seeing so many young people who have young families.
Yeah.
And thinking what I went through, I don't want to see anybody else have to go through that. You know, it's bad enough that a disease or something happens that you as the individual have to go through, that your family and everyone around you have to go through, but then add in financial hardships and that makes things 10 times worse. So the idea is to build the health, to try and stay healthy, to encourage people to go to doctors, to encourage future-proofing their agency, you know, to really think about planning and preparing for the worst. It sounds doom and gloom, but that's life.
Okay, let's switch gears for a moment and let's talk about your toolbox. Before that, you want to have a water break?
Yes, let's take a water break.
People who would be listening this must be wondering why we are taking water break, because we are thirsty people, so...
That's right. That's okay. Right. That's exactly right.
So let's talk about your toolbox now. What are your current five favorite tools that power your online business?
Yeah. So we do a lot of training stuff for our clients. And we're going to be doing more for course type work. So for us, you know, being on Macs, we use ScreenFlow. Love ScreenFlow. It's a great video editor. It's more than just screen capture, but it's a great video editor. And they keep enhancing the product with more motion effects and more features that you would find in something like Adobe Premiere or After Effects. So they're really starting to step that software up. And, you know, it's like $100. So it's not cheap, but you buy it, you own it, you're not renting it like with the Adobe products. Now, with that said, we have to have Adobe products. You know, we need compatibility with external agencies. Again, we do a lot of corporate. Some of our corporations have in-house art departments, and they're all using Adobe products. So we need that creative suite subscription, and it's one of those necessary evils. If I could switch to non-Adobe products, I probably would, but I've been using these Adobe products for 20 plus years, so it's hard.
Adobe knows there's no alternative. That's why it's evil.
That's right. Yeah, you're exactly right. So like for social media stuff, as we all know, social media, the landscape has definitely changed.
Yeah.
The amount of interaction that you get on your Facebook pages, the amount of interaction that you get on Twitter. I mean, unless you truly are a celebrity who has a lot of people following you for entertainment reasons, you don't see a lot of action anymore.
Yeah.
So I've kind of taken the attitude of, you know, I'm not going to pay for visibility. I'm not going to give Facebook money to promote posts. I'm not going to do that because honestly, what is the benefit that's going to come out of that, right? So I've taken a different attitude and I've started using my social channels as a news stream. So I actually created a Facebook page for the Web Dev Fitness Group that is a feed of news items, you know, whether it be WordPress, whether it be fitness, and it's fed by RSS. Mm-hmm. So I use a SaaS product called Twibble, and they allow you to go in, find an RSS feed, connect your social accounts to it, configure a whole bunch of parameters, and then it will auto post for you at the intervals that you set up. And then what I do is I go in and mix it in, you know, with my own, you know, one-off tweets or status updates or what have you. So Twibble's been really great. Stripe, of course, I think a lot of people use Stripe. I mean, that's definitely how we run all of our, you know, monthly hosting and care plans. It's how we do our one-off, you know, one-off invoices and stuff. And then Calendly. We use that for scheduling our meetings and stuff. And I actually put a line in my signature that says, you know, book your consultation call. And it actually works out great. You know, we get people, you know, all of a sudden I get a calendar alert. Oh, so-and-so wants a call. So that works out really great for us. We don't have to go chase them down. They come to us, which is perfect.
Cool. So which is your recommended web hosting service? I'm sure you manage a lot of client websites and you've tried a lot of web hosting companies over a period of 5-10 years.
Yeah, for sure. So I would say if I had to recommend something for the developer that wants to be a little bit more hands-off the server work, it's definitely WP Engine or Flywheel. Mm-hmm. Those guys take care of the servers for you. Basically, it's a lot more set it and forget it. If you want to be more hands-on, I mean, but that's a premium cost, obviously. We know that. So you're going to pay for that. If you want to be more hands-on, SiteGround and Cloudways are like the popular ones today. I'm a little hesitant about both of them. I've heard some really great things, and I've heard some not great things.
Same here.
So I'm looking at it saying, do I want to manage the servers and not be able to get good support? Or to have problems, you know, or to have them come back and say, well, that's beyond the scope of support. You know, you need to figure that out yourself. Personally, I don't want to deal with that. So, you know, over the years, we've kind of built our own platforms using kind of a hybrid of different services. So, so you know, we have our own platform now that we host our clients on. But for everybody else, my recommendation is definitely WP Engine or Flywheel.
And which is your recommended page builder?
Yeah, so this is kind of a sticky as well. So for years, we've been using iThemes Builder, the framework. And for the most part, that has been able to give us everything we need from a custom design. You know, but you're kind of limited to the editor. You know, so maybe you need another plugin or whatever to be able to add buttons or things like that. So that's kind of what we've been doing for years. When we've needed to do more complex page layouts, you know, our page builder of choice is Elementor. But we're really starting to look at migrating over to Block Editor and using iThemes, because the Block Editor really gives you a lot of capabilities now, and it's only going to get better.
Yeah, better.
You know, and it kind of eliminates the need for the overhead of the page builder. Not that these page builders, you know, Beaver and Elementor, I mean, they're fairly efficient pieces of software. But I do like the idea of less is more And if you can kind of do a lot in the theme, you know, and keep that pretty lightweight, and then kind of use in the built-in functionalities of WordPress, I mean, that's really kind of where I'm leaning towards now.
And your recommended email marketing service?
Yeah, so I've used MailChimp. I've used that a lot for personal and for clients. I've set up many services and autoresponders and lists and tags and all that happy stuff. And I think it's a great product. What I don't like about it is their pricing, because sometimes you have campaigns that are seasonal. You know, you have your list is seasonal sometimes. I know that was like us with our show. And once you get into a paid level at MailChimp, you can't downgrade. You can downgrade once, like back to free, but then you can't upgrade again, and it becomes a real nightmare. So we started using Mad Mimi, which is a GoDaddy product now. Mm-hmm. And that actually works really nice. I mean, you get 100 free people on your list, 100 contacts on your list. But then you can upgrade to the paid plan. You can have like 5,000, 10,000, whatever you need. It does give you quite a bit of capabilities, not as much as MailChimp or Drip or some of the other services, but it gives you the ability to downgrade back to even a free plan for that seasonal work, but you don't lose anything. You don't lose any of your contacts. You don't lose any of the campaigns you put.
Cool.
So all you have to do is pay again, expand to what you need, and start running your campaigns.
Awesome. And any upcoming tool or service that has caught your eye attention?
I'm interested in this Groundhog product.
Yeah, I've seen it.
You know, it's kind of been around for like a month and a half or 2 months now that I've seen it in the groups and stuff. It looks interesting. I don't truly know how feasible it's going to be for daily work.
It's a sort of a CRM that works within your WordPress dashboard. And, you know, just talking, you know, word like CRM within WordPress, it sounds like it would be very heavy or something. So I've seen how it works, but I've not used it on my platform itself. So can't really tell how bloated or how optimized it is. But that's the concept of it. Like, that's how they are even marketing it. Like, why pay big fees to have a CRM solution when you have it with WordPress for free?
Right. And in theory, that sounds great. Yeah. The drawback is you absolutely do not want to be sending emails from your server IP address because you will be blacklisted and no one will access your server ever again.
Yeah.
So really you need to connect to a third party sender, whether it be, you know, Amazon or, SendGrid or something like that. You really need to connect to it. Now, Amazon, they allow you to send a lot of, I forget the number, but a lot of outbound emails for free before you get to the paid level. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, like you combine the two, it sounds more interesting. My concern is something that you're relying on working automated in the background with WordPress as the operating system, let's say. We know that WordPress has its moments where it fails.
Yeah.
And if it's running off of a cron job, let's say, and the cron doesn't trigger and your emails don't go out, you know, then that's why I really got to see. I want to hear what people's results are with it and, you know, real world, how it's worked for them.
Cool. So before we wrap this episode, where can people find you?
You can go to my agency website. It's currentmediagroup.net. Mm-hmm. You can find me at the fitness group on Facebook. You can either search for Web Dev Fitness or go to webdevfitness.com. We put together just like a single website page that redirects you over there. So that's awesome. Where you can find me.
And any last message for geeky people that they should be more careful about your health and even their businesses?
Yeah, I mean, future-proofing, that's all I can say. You need to really plan your processes in your systems. You need to come up with your recurring revenue concept and get that established as soon as you can and continue to grow it. take the precautions, you know, make sure you have your insurances and things like that. You know, nobody wants that, but you need it. And, you know, just move, just be active, get off your butts, get outside, walk around, you know, do something and see your doctor. Just make sure you don't forego the doctors.
Run with your dog, play with your kids, mow the lawn. There's so many things to do other than sitting in front of a computer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay, Trevor, it was amazing talking to you. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too.
You can join the free web creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.